Let us all say amen. I don't know about you, when I think of that song, it reminds me that one day I'm going to have to leave here. And in the process of knowing that I'm going to have to leave here, I don't have any sorrow. I don't have any pain. And I want to leave here with an understanding of my family that I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And Paul said, henceforth laid up for me is a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me. And Paul said, not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearance. I appreciate Brother Johnson and Brother Henry. You got to do something. Talk is cheap. Put up. See, I know you knew that. Yeah. And somewhere down the line, as believers, we need to either put up, we need to just keep our mouths shut. For the next few minutes, I want to talk about an ambassador that always follows the sun. You just don't know how much you stepped on all on my lesson, both of y'all. But see, that's the harmony of the Word of God, is that when we all speak the same thing, when we all walk by the same rules and mind the same thing, guess what? We'll encourage one another. We'll motivate one another. We'll drive one another to a higher plateau. Let this mind be in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself. That goes back to what you said a few minutes ago, Brother Johnson. You got to do something. Jesus was willing to suffer and die on a cross that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. And in the process of doing that, church, somewhere down the line, I believe we start thinking like the Lord. Somewhere down the line, we ought to start looking like the Lord. And I'm learning that the only way you're going to do that is you got to get in this book. And then you got to withdraw yourself from this world. We live in a world that is turned upside down, backwards, forward, you name it, it is that way. But that should never, ever affect the believer. Why? Because Jesus holds the world. God said in Psalms 51, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. And he called you and I his children, his sons. And church, so therefore, nothing ought to move us in our Christian walk. But I'm learning in order for you to really do that, and Henry brought it out real good, you got to learn to think like God. And the only way you're going to learn to think like God is you got to bathe yourself with God. Amen. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Where is your delight? I know it's after 12. I already hear some of y'all stomach. Amen. I want to hear what you got to say, preacher, but hurry up because I am on a different track. Somewhere down. Hey, you don't have to tell me. I know. But somewhere down the line, Jesus told his apostles when they went to get food, Jesus said, I have food that you know not of. Church, I'm trying to tell you that when you bathe yourself with the Word of God, God will fill you so full that you won't even think about physical food. But I'm learning, church, in order to do that, you got to follow the Son of God. Who is this Son of God? John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we know it's from God himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. An ambassador must always follow the Son. And I want to show you that when he follows the Son, he understands something about the Savior's example from God himself. Oh, yeah, Jesus came and died on a cross that you and I can have the right to the tree of life. And he only asked two things of us, and we can't even do them. Two things. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Love God how? With all of our heart, soul, and mind. Love thy neighbor how? As thyself. And I'm learning, church, that when you put God first and foremost in your life, He'll take care of everything else. I'm learning that when God is really where He belongs in our life, and see, the only way He's going to get there is you got to get out of the way. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. I'm learning that when I put myself out of the way, you'll be surprised what God can do for you and do in your everyday life. See, the ambassador must always follow the example that Jesus set. In Romans chapter 5 and round about verse number 8, Paul said God demonstrated how much He loved mankind and that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. He died for me that I don't have to go through the agony of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 51 through 58, Paul says, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twink of an eye. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that's where I want to be. I want to be in Christ so when that trumpet sound, I don't have to worry about a thing. So therefore, as an ambassador, I must follow Jesus' example. The Bible said when He was reviled, He didn't even open His mouth. He committed Himself to Him who judged Him faithful. Jesus is our example, church. And as ambassadors, we must follow the Son and follow Him in a way that it brings glory and honor to Him. John chapter 5, this is what the Savior said. John chapter 5, verse number 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify concerning me. What is to testify? That I am the Son of a living God. And I come that you might have life and that you might have an abundant life. Church, I don't know about you. I've served a lot of things in my time on this time side of life. But never ever have I served someone that told me where I came from, told me how to live, and He tells me where I'm going if I do it His way. See, the ambassador follows the Savior, and he follows Him in such a way that he understands what the Savior required of him. In John chapter 10, verse number 10, Jesus said, the thief has come but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have abundant life. Paul reminded the believer, if you're going to follow the Son of God, let your conversation be in a way that it brings glory and honor to the Father. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in the faith. I want to encourage us and remind us as ambassadors of God, follow Jesus Christ. And guess what? You won't see so much of me. I better say that again. Follow Jesus Christ. And I'm learning that when you follow Jesus, all you see in everybody else is an opportunity to help them. Church, we have an awesome responsibility. And I'm afraid to say, we've fallen down on the job. Amen, Walt. We have. We've fallen down. But somewhere down the line, if we're going to follow the Son, we got to follow His example. Jesus was met with much hostility. But in the process, Jesus never gave up anything other than what thus saith the Lord. And I want to encourage us, if we're going to follow the Son, first and foremost, you got to get out of the way. I'm learning that. I'm learning that until I surrender my will to what God requires of me, I'll never do anything for the Lord. You think I do this because of you? Huh? You think I do this because of my family? No. I do this because He's made a promise to me. That promise is when I close my eyes in death, He'll give me a crown that fadeth not away. Well, I've had a lot of guarantees, haven't you, Henry? Go to cash in the guarantee and it don't work no more. But the guarantee I have from God is He would never leave me, nor would He forsake me. So as an ambassador, I must follow the Son. I must follow the example that the Savior set down. And in following that example, guess what? I'm looking for every opportunity to do good. Amen. Somewhere down the line, we look for opportunities. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Do good to all men. Who? Y'all don't know that, Bastion? Especially to them that are of the household of faith. See, I'm learning that when I really follow the Son, I'm looking for every opportunity to do good to somebody. So therefore, my life is indicative of what I practice and what I preach. Paul reminds Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12. Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. In other words, believers, we need to be the example to one another. Do we need some examples in 2019? Huh? Should it come from the White House or the Blue House? No, it should come from the house of God. And I'm learning that when you and I are the example, the world we live in will make some changes. I told you about the parrot last week. You and I. So make the difference. Paul says, be thou an example to the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on a hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting. And I challenge you to look at this in a different translation. He says that your lifestyle is evident to everybody you come in contact with. Is our lifestyle evident to whoever we come in contact with? Yes, it is. It's either yea or nay. We are either serving God or we're not serving God. Somebody talked about hypocrites this morning. How many of us sitting here might ask ourselves, am I a hypocrite? And I know how I think. No, I ain't. Yes. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul says in verse number 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. See, an ambassador always followed the Son. He always looks to the example that Jesus set. Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus was tempted, Jesus relied upon it is written. And as an ambassador, as a servant of God, we must always allow ourselves to lie upon what is written. And in doing so, every opportunity that come our way, we will be ready to service and do the will of the Father. And in the process of looking for every good opportunity, guess what? Nothing stops us from our mission. You know, I'm learning that I have one responsibility on this time side of life, and that's to seek and save the lost and to keep myself unspotted from the world. How do you do that in a spotted world? You got to focus in on mission. How many of us have worked on a job for 10 or 15 years? How many of us retired from a job? No. And how did you retire from that job? You were steadfast, wasn't you? You were unmovable, wasn't you? Yeah, because I want to make a point here. How many of y'all retired as Christians? You have? No, not. yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why I said it that way. Church, if you're not careful, you will retire from the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter whether or not you're in good health or bad health. The believer always look for an opportunity. And like I said, nothing stops this ambassador because he's following the Son. He's looking for every opportunity. And he understands his mission, his goal, his responsibility. Luke 19 and 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself, how? Unspotted from the world. So how do I stay unspotted? We need to understand who's in control of our everyday life. Anybody sitting here having some problems in your life? I do. Anybody in here having some issues that you don't know how to deal with? I know how to deal with them. The Bible says in James chapter 5, if there is any among you who are sick, call for the elders. If they sin, they shall. Boy, you know, I mean, I read some stuff in this Bible that I know we don't practice. And you know why? I know why we don't practice it? Because we don't understand who we are. We have the power to overcome all of the obstacles that we face in our everyday life. Brother Johnson said it, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Boy, some of us are so afraid, we're afraid of our own shadows. Amen. He didn't give us that spirit, but he gave us a spirit of a sound mind and power to overcome obstacles in our everyday life. See, nothing stops the ambassador because he understands who he is or who she is, and he really stays on track because he understands what thus saith the Lord. In Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 28, listen to this. This is why nothing stops me. And we know. What do you know? I know something. I know that Jesus is the Son of God, and one day he's going to descend from heaven and he's going to deliver the kingdom back to his Father. I know that. I believe that. And I live my life that way. Why? Because when he comes, I want to be found in his grace, in his mercy. Paul says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, an ambassador understands I've been called for a purpose. I don't know who told you can come when you feel like it. Since I'm closing it out, I don't know who told you that. I don't know who told you can sit here and look pretty and dress nice and do absolutely nothing and you're going to make heaven your home. I don't know who told you that. But I just stopped by to tell you, no, you can't do that. You got to do something. And then you got to learn how to think the way God wants us to think. Paul says, and we know that all things work together. It doesn't mean everything going to be good. But guess what? It's going to turn out good. Why? Because of who we serve. Verse 29 says, for whom he did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us,
Who can be against us?
That's interesting. Because it's inferred in that text there that you might be against yourself. You ever thought about that? You ever thought that you could be against yourself? You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I want you to check out these next few verses. For he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who can lay a charge to God's elect? Is it not God to justify? Who is he that can condemn? Is it not Christ that died, yea, rather, and is risen again, who sits at the right hand of God, who makes intercessions for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulations? Distress. Anybody in here in distress? You might need to see Jesus. Persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Do you believe that you're a conqueror? Huh? Somewhere down the line, you either believe it or you're not. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I want you to look at a mindset and an attitude that I'm learning, that if I can develop this mindset and an attitude, you can't even begin to stop me. You say what you want to. You can do whatever you want to. You can't stop me. Why? Because I'm persuaded. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death. And I wonder why he starts with death. Because some of us are scared to die. Amen. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And in conclusion, what son do you follow? The S-U-N or the S-O-N? The choice is yours. I want to encourage us as we continue to walk this Christian walk. Church, God is going to hold us accountable. Those of us who've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, He's going to hold us really accountable. And I don't know about you, in the day of judgment, I'm going to have a hard enough time with the blood of Stan, let alone your blood. And I want to encourage us, stop and think about these three little short lessons we've had this morning. It's time to do something. You think Nike got that from himself, don't you? No, he got that from the Lord. How do I know that? Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. The former treatise I wrote unto you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until that day he was taken up from the earth. See, it's time to do something. But in order to do something, you got to start thinking right. There's a brother that used to always talk about stankin' thinking. Sometimes we think too much, and it ain't thinking the way God wants us to think. I want to encourage you, as ambassadors of Christ, don't let another day go without you really stopping and asking yourself a question. If he called me, would I be able to stand before him in peace? And you know, and one of the things that we don't do a lot of in the church is repent. You know why? Because we don't want nobody to think that we've fallen short. Yeah. But repentance gives us a clear conscience. Repentance put us in the right relationship. See, in order to assemble around this table, you got to be free of sin.
That's right.
How do you get free of sin? You got to repent of your sins.
True.
You know, and I'm learning that the example that we leave behind for these young folks is the example they're going to follow.
See.
If they see me come in and sleep,
Uh-oh. They
have the right to go to sleep. Amen. Y'all quiet. I'm finishing up. But somewhere down the line, we got to make the difference. We live in a world that needs us. And when I talk about the world that needs us, I'm talking about your next door neighbor. I'm talking about the associates, your friends. I'm talking about your family. Somewhere down the line. And I'll tell you, I'm like this. When I was a sinner, I sin. Can I get a witness? I'm a child of God. I'm trying to do the right things. You don't realize how many sleepless nights I have concerning the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. Who am I talking about?
People.
I'm talking about us. When I look at us, Matthew chapter 9, as I close, in verse 36, the Bible says, when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus said, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. I want to encourage somebody to step up and be a laborer today. I want to encourage us all to look at our lives and say, I can do more for the Lord. We need to make the difference in Apple Valley. And it's going to start with one person at a time. If you're here this morning, members of the body of Christ, and you've fallen short of the glory of God, I want to encourage you, repent, get on the right track. If there's ever been time, look at the life, the world in which we live in. And those of you that are not members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to put him on in water baptism